Her hair was cut short for the first time in her life, and the chill on the back of her neck was unfamiliar. It would be a warm spring day, but the hour was still early, and the sun had not yet had a chance to do its work. She could feel the cool air moving around her, not strong enough yet to be a breeze, more like a breath. She had not many breaths left. She stifled the impulse to put her hand up to her neck and still the accompanying bubbles of panic that had risen in her stomach. She must not think about her neck if she was to maintain her composure. To distract herself, she turned towards the people gathered below the scaffold to watch her die. There was a multitude. They were silent and their faces solemn. Then she heard a woman call out from the back of the throng. She spoke with the harsh accent of the common people of London, and her shrill voice carried across Tower Green. "'Tis a pity good Queen Catherine didn't live long enough to see your head up on the block." Queen Anne remained motionless, but the woman's words hit home. She had thought the death of her great rival Catherine of Aragon just a few weeks before only a good thing, cementing her own legitimacy as queen. Even in her extremity, she had to repress a wry smile at the thought of her own foolishness and at the irony of one queen's death following so hastily upon the other. A ripple of murmurs ran through the crowd in response to the woman's insult, whether in approval or disapproval she did not know, although she could guess. Nevertheless, she looked down from the scaffold at the people closest to her. She recognised some of the upturned faces, men and women she had once known well and had thought of as friends, but she did not see any kindness in their eyes. She did not see kindness in any of the thousand pairs of eyes that watched her so intently, and for that she was grateful. Their hatred helped. It made her feel defiant. She could not have borne any sign of pity. She had rehearsed this moment ever since they had told her the timing of her execution. She had gone over and over it in her mind, imagining what she would see, forcing herself to feel what she would feel so that it might not undo her when she was compelled to face the reality. Composing her final words had helped steady her. She knew what she must do in her last act on earth. She must do everything she could to safeguard the fate of her little daughter. Elizabeth would be standing up in her cot at just this moment, Anne thought, arms outstretched to her nursemaid. The vivid image brought tears to her eyes. She had to swallow hard to hold them at bay. "Time to get up! Time to get up!" Anne remembered the child's imperious demands and impatience. How eager the little girl was to get up and get out into the world. How the child's tone had made them all, queen, ladies and attendants, laugh with pride and delight at her forwardness. Elizabeth did not speak like a baby, although she was not yet three. Her words were clearly articulated and her piping voice already carried a note of command. She spoke in complete sentences with all the words in the right order. Anne's heart swelled with pride at the thought of her child. Henry did not realise the jewel he had in this daughter of theirs. Anne must do all that she could to send her safely into the future. She knew her words must speak no insurrection, no excuses, no defiance. She must not be seen to criticise the justice of her sentence. She would not admit guilt, nor would she claim innocence. Her words must be calm, conciliatory, humble and loving. They would be written down, they would be reported, and they would be remembered. She must die quietly and unprotestingly so that her infant daughter might live and prosper, and all Anne's hopes and ambitions not be in vain. Elizabeth. She spoke her daughter's name so quietly that none could have heard it but God. The people watching saw her lips move and assumed she was praying. They were right. "My Lord Constable, may I speak to the people assembled here?" She was relieved that her voice sounded so steady. It raised her spirits a little. She turned back to the crowd below her. They had surged forward in anticipation, the better to hear what she had to say. "Good Christian people, I am come hither to die, for according to law..." It was good that all through the long and sleepless night she had rehearsed the words she would say. She knew them so well they flowed unbidden from her lips, leaving her mind free to take in everything about her. The air she breathed was sweet. The scent of the flowers blooming in the Tower Gardens caused her a pang of regret. The crowd was so silent as they strained to hear her words that she could hear the distant roar of the lions and tigers from the Tower Menagerie. "For a gentler nor a more merciful prince was there never, and to me he was ever a good, a gentle and sovereign lord." She could feel rather than see the crowd relax as she spoke. It was clear that she would say nothing that would shock or accuse. She would go to her death mildly, causing far less trouble in her demise than she ever did in her life. If any person will meddle of my cause, I require them to judge the best. And thus I take my leave of the world and of you all. And I heartily desire you all to pray for me. O Lord, have mercy on me. To God I commend my soul. She turned and scanned the stony faces of the people standing with her on the scaffold. Who among you is my executioner? He will be here presently, my lady. But the words of the Lord Constable did not deceive her. She knew he was one of the men standing behind her. Lady Kingston stepped forward and removed Anne's mantle. Then the condemned queen was given a linen cap which she tied over her shorn hair. This time she could not resist placing her hand protectively over her neck. The skin was cool to the touch and she could feel little goosebumps pimpling her flesh. Whether from the unaccustomed exposure or from fear, she could not tell. Now a French-accented voice in her ear. Will you forgive me, Your Grace? Willingly, good Master Executioner. But she did not turn around. To see him would undo her. Kneel and pray, my lady. Will you give me a little more time, good sir, so I may make my peace with my God? I will. As she prayed, they put a blindfold across her eyes, and the bubbles of panic in her belly fizzed and burst, forcing open her eyes against the dark, so that her eyelashes brushed the linen that shut out all sight of the world. Her ears strained to hear the approach of the executioner, but what she heard was the thump of her own heart and the pant of her now frantic breath. The executioner had removed his shoes so he would make no sound as he approached, but she heard the collective intake of breath by the assembled multitude as he raised the blade, and she knew.